This is KCUR 89.3. Medical researchers have made a lot of progress developing artificial versions of organs like the heart, lungs, and kidneys, but they've been stumped by artificial blood, which is especially hard to recreate because it does so many things, from carrying oxygen to helping the immune system to heating and cooling the body. Some Missouri researchers may have taken a big step forward in creating artificial blood, but will science ever be able to fully replace the real thing? KCUR's Alex Smith reports.
It's still dark when 70-year-old Johnny Matz arrives to make his regular donation at the Community Blood Center in Kansas City.
Get her done, brother. Just honestly, yeah, I start my day out like this.
Matz has been donating blood, plasma, or platelets for 45 years and now does it every other Friday morning. He's a retired railroad worker and says the early morning tradition began as a way to cap off a night shift.
When I very first started, I worked midnight to 8 o'clock. And so I came up here after I got off work at 8 o'clock.
Matz says he got into donating in part through his dad, who's now 92 and also still a regular donor.
So that's a huge inspiration to me. And then the Bible, you know, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is one way I'm trying to love my neighbor back.
Keeping blood banks well-stocked takes the help of lots of donors like Matz, because blood has a short shelf life and is always in demand. Even when the demand is met, donated blood isn't easy to work with. It has to be kept cool and matched for type. About a generation ago, researchers thought they were closing in on, if not quite a substitute for donated blood, then at least something that would carry oxygen like blood does.
I would say a lot of the different products that have been introduced over the years have had a lot of promise.
University of Kansas Hospital surgeon Michael Moncure was involved in trials for a type of blood substitute that was introduced in the 1980s and was made using hemoglobin. That's the part of the blood that carries oxygen. In several different versions of artificial blood, hemoglobin molecules were linked so they wouldn't fall apart in the body. Hopes were high. Then came the clinical trials.
The last blood substitute that we utilized in a trial that looked like it had the most promise actually showed that there was a higher level or rate of heart attacks that were associated with that.
It turned out that hemoglobin outside of a blood cell doesn't play nicely with the rest of the body. Some patients using this kind of blood substitute had heart attacks or strokes or big spikes in blood pressure. In 2008, the National Institutes of Health put out a study laying out all the dangers of artificial blood. Researcher John Olson of Rice University said that made a lot of researchers and investors jump ship.
Sadly, a lot of companies went out of business in 2008.
Since then, research has shown that real donated blood may have a shorter safe shelf life than originally thought. And Rice says those findings have made many researchers rethink the possibilities of artificial blood.
So over the last few years, people have gone back to relook at this.
And among the new breed of researchers is Dr. Doctor.
My name is Alan Doctor. I'm a pediatric intensivist here at Children's Hospital in St. Louis and at Washington University in St. Louis.
Doctor's been working on a blood substitute called erythromure. It starts with hemoglobin molecules, but covers them in a synthetic coating developed by bioengineer Dipanjan Pan. Doctor says putting this coating on these tiny molecules is a painstaking process.
Right now, we're really in the sort of the craft beer stage, where it's lovingly made by graduate students in a research laboratory.
Unlike the food dye and cornstarch version used in horror movies, this real fake blood looks a lot more like...
I've described it a little like paprika, but it's not. It's a deeper red.
It's a powder, not a liquid, to make it easier to use in the field. The U.S. Army is probably the biggest single potential customer for artificial blood, and erythromure is especially suited for use in battlefields. The powder can be carried in someone's pocket and doesn't have to be kept cool.
And when we want to reconstitute it and use it, literally, you just add water. You add water and shake it, and boom, it's ready for injection.
Doctor recently presented his work at the annual meeting of the American Society of Hematology. It's been used successfully in rats and mice, but is still in very early stages of testing. Still, John Olson says that the synthetic coating on hemoglobin has the potential to avoid the problems of previous versions of artificial blood.
A lot more work needs to be done, but it's an interesting new idea.
erythromure would probably be only a temporary fix, something for use until a patient can get donated blood. And it just carries oxygen, doing none of the other things that blood does. Holson says that an actual replacement for donated blood is probably something that won't be manufactured from scratch in the laboratory. Instead, it will be grown using stem cells.
Yeah, nice little vein here.
Yeah, that was my primary go-to for years.
And really?
Then we switched to the left.
Back at the Community Blood Center, Johnny Matt settles in for an hour and a half platelet donation session. Because even after decades of work, a true replacement for donated blood is still a long way off. And for the foreseeable future, hospitals and doctors will continue to depend on the generosity of donors like Matt's to do the work of saving lives. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Alex Smith.